Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
The end of 1941 saw German ace Adolf Galland promoted to General of the Fighters. In part two of AeroCinema's exclusive series, Galland takes us inside Hitler's inner circle and reveals the secret plans for one of World War II's boldest operations, Operation Thunderbolt, the Channel Dash.
Hitler, he wanted to have the capital ships in Norway. He said he knew that this operation would be extremely dangerous.
Galland pilots us through the collapse of Germany, the infighting in the Luftwaffe High Command, and the follies of Hitler and Göring.
He did not understand what was going on. Hitler's thinking was only aggressive. He could only follow the bomber.
Discover what inspired Galland to continue fighting in a war all but lost, and the one aircraft which might have changed history.
And the population is suffering in such a terrible way that we have a good weapon. We have to continue to fight.
Join us as we learn about the man behind the legend, Adolf Galland, the fighter general.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio-controlled scale models, join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for our live show. We'll be covering the latest news in RC scale and have some great interviews every week. That's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with rebroadcast throughout the week, the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Reminding you that radio engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson. And today is Tuesday, January 4th, 2011. I want to welcome you to the show. If you're listening live tonight, we're glad you could join us. If you're listening to the podcast, we hope you can join us live on Tuesday night. But glad you're listening anyway. This is our first show back, and we've got a few things a little different. Theme music's a little different. We're trying to work out that a little bit. But want to say congratulations to Lainey in New Zealand. Actually recommended that song, and I liked it. So that's going to be the new theme song for the show, or the intro music, rather. First of all, I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday. I had 2 weeks off, and man, I tell you what, I got some great shop time in. It was fabulous. You know, I wish I could do that all year long, but you know, you got to pay the bills. I want to welcome our guest tonight. Our good friend Dino DiGiorgio is with us tonight. Good evening, Dino. Glad you could join us tonight.
Good evening, Mike.
I appreciate you coming on the show. I know you're fighting a little bit of a cold, and we'll try and keep your talking to a minimum. Hopefully we'll get a lot of questions tonight.
That'd be just perfect. The whole night. But I'm cool. I'm a trooper. You know, I've been working through it anyway. So.
Well, you know, you're all NyQuil'd up, so you should be good for at least an hour, right?
I think I've taken almost everything over the counter that I can, and then tomorrow we'll see what the doctor can prescribe.
There you go. Yeah, it's no fun having a cold or a flu this time of year. But well, let's get right into it. You know, I wanted tonight's show, Dino. I really want to talk about scale competition. But before we get into that, why don't you give us a quick update about what's going on with Meister Scale and Aero Accessories?
Sure. Well, it'll be quick. There's really not too much going on new within Meister. We are, with the help of my good buddy Wayne Fussell over at Solo Pops, we're working on, well, actually it was my idea, but he's working on a plug for the Meister P47, We're making a 200-gallon belly tank. It's the unusual one. It's not one that you see on the average P-47. I can explain it as it being wide and narrow, if you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a 200-gallon belly tank, and it'll be for the Meister size. So that's something new and different. Like I said, I haven't seen one, and I was looking through some pictures and talking to Wayne, New Year's Eve, and said all of a sudden he walked away. It was New Year's Eve, and he's walking away. He's already working on a plug. So that's what we're working on there. And my good buddy Greg and John Vesey, who are my our UK reps, mm-hmm. Thanks to Greg and John, they revised the Meister Scale Zero manual. So it's actually a totally new manual that's updated from our original one with some photos and diagrams and whatnot. And I don't know if you've seen it on your website.
Nice.
I'm sure he did a great job building his Zero and helping out revamping the manual.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, I also hear that there's some interesting news about you as a scale competitor this next year, that you're going to do something a little different this year. You want to tell folks about that?
Yeah. Long story short, because it started back in the early 90s, where most of the scale modelers know the name Graham Mears. Graham Mears, I've known him for a long time, and many, many years ago, probably back in around 1994, he had asked me to go into competition with him sometime. And, you know, through all the years, he used to compete with Dave Patrick, and recently been competing with David Shulman, and which is what I call one of the dream teams. Mm-hmm. But this year, Graham had contacted me asking me if I would fly for him in team scale. For the only reason that David and Graham had intentions on flying in Frank's new class, the unrestricted class, so which left the team scale open, and Graham wanted me to fly. He's finished up a new Super Cub, which is, you know, it's Graham Mears. I mean, it's just incredible. I haven't seen it. I don't know how much time I'll get to practice on it, if I get any practice on it at all, which seems to be what happens lately with me at Top Gun. I don't get much time to practice before the competition, which unfortunately is something that, we all need, even myself, because flying the airplane is one thing, but when you start talking about the competition, getting set up for your maneuvers, and practice routine is essential. But, that's what we're going to do. We're going to get together a couple of days, maybe a day before Top Gun, and see if I can just go through the airplane.
Well, that's great. That's great. His models go without saying that they're just incredible, you know. So we look forward to that. I'm sure you guys will do well, no doubt about that. And by the way, we'll be having Graham on the show next week. So we'll get to hear the other side of this, you know. So watch out what you say now.
Yeah, Graham will have another side for sure. There's no doubt. You know, when I met him, in the early 90s, he actually, and it's ironic because I met him, and the plane that he was flying was his first Super Cub, mm-hmm. that he had at Top Gun in the early 90s. And, you know, he can tell you all that story. I'll let him tell you the story about that flight. But, he's a great guy. He's a phenomenal builder. And it's just, he's a legend.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying. But, well, let's talk about competition some, Dino. What I want to do tonight is I'd like to open up phone lines and email. And, you know, a lot of people talk about wanting to get into competition, or they may think the competition is too difficult, or they just don't know where to start if they want to get into it. So I thought we'd kind of, you know, open some doors there and open it for discussion. And also, I want to, you know, talk about the different aspects of it with you. And I couldn't think of too many other people that's more qualified to talk about it than you. So I gave you your pat on the back for the night. So
that's all I get.
So, folks, if you'd like to to call in and join in the discussion tonight, you can call us at 478-787-4768. Or if you have Skype, you can just look up Warbird Radio and you can call in that way, or shoot us an email at live, L-I-V-E, at rcskillbuilder.com. I guess the first thing that maybe we should talk about, Dino, is let's kind of get rid of some of the myths out there about competition, okay?
and there are a lot of them.
There really are. And why don't you go into that first? You know, the biggest thing that I've always heard and that I'm sure other people hear is that, you know, the competitors are stuck up and they won't help you. And it's been my experience that is exactly the opposite of that, is that they're always extremely nice and willing to help. And if they have something you need, they're more than willing to help. And let's talk about some of the other things, you know, some of the myths. Why don't you touch on that a little bit?
Well, you know, it's true. I can say that I've come across that myself. I mean, being in the hobby and in the industry for over 30 years, I've come across a lot of things myself as well. While some people think they're myths, there is some truth behind that. But don't let one apple spoil the bunch. There might be guys who are wanting to get into competition and maybe perhaps they went to the wrong person. Okay. While there are guys who would like to help and do help, there are some guys who are a little more, restricted, I would say. I mean, okay. You know what I'm saying? Yep. It depends on just the right guy to talk to. And there are some modelers who are afraid to talk to anybody because of rumors that they hear, just like you said, he's this, he's that, you can't talk to him, he's stuck up. I don't know. I actually have a very good friend of mine, Tony Urbano, who I met through this. It happened to me. He was at the field one day up where I was from, up in Jersey. And, he came up to me, started talking to me, out of the blue, and I was helping him. And he said, geez, you know, Dino, I'm just surprised. I said, surprised about what, Tony? And he said, well, you know, the other guys I was talking to, you know, said that you were so conceited and stuck up. And I was like, and not to talk to you. And here you are giving me help and inviting me over your house. I said, well, it's something like that, but it happened even to me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, there's plenty of guys who are willing to help, and don't stop just because you speak to somebody and you get rubbed the wrong way, because right. That can happen in any hobby and in any sport, at all.
So. Absolutely. Well, you know what? We got a caller. Let's see who we got here. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. Hello, caller.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir. I would be talking to you. How are you doing tonight?
I didn't know. Well, I'm a little surprised, obviously. I didn't know I was a caller. I was just watching or listening live on your Skype channel. Mm-hmm. Which is new to me, and I was enjoying the conversation. I didn't realize I was live.
Yes, sir. You actually called in on Skype. That's absolutely correct.
So
who are we speaking with?
Oh boy,
I'm wearing a really nice new hat I got for Christmas from my buddy Dino. I wish you guys could see it. This is Scott Prossen down in Tampa, Florida.
Oh goodness, Scott, I didn't recognize your voice, buddy.
Well, probably not my face either, right?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
We're doing good, Scott.
I just chimed in about 5 minutes ago and caught the part where Dino was talking about maybe it was misconceptions or misunderstandings of personalities and so on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you know, Scott, you've competed before. Why don't you kind of give a little input on that? You know, what was your initial thoughts when you first started competing about, I guess, what were your expectations, what it was going to be like?
Well, yeah, I've competed before, but on a very limited basis. I'm very new back into the hobby, only back in it for about 5 years, and I was in it as a kid with my father, until probably college, and at which point I didn't have any money or time for it. So,
yeah.
And, you know, it took, I don't know what it was, 25, 30 years off and jumped back in. And after about 3 years of being back in the hobby and flying some planes, I got lucky in living in the area I live in. There's a lot of really good clubs in the area and a lot of very competitive people in the area in terms of guys that are competing all the time, not competitive personality per se. And I had always kind of thought it would be a dream of mine to try and fly with some of these pretty well-known people. I had asked around a little bit. I was able to call, I think some of the people over at Frank Tiano's place, FTE, and ask about how you get involved in things like Top Gun or, you know, the Scale Masters and so on and so forth. And, you know, like I think we all find, everybody's very willing to help, very happy to help and willing to help. And they inform me, you know, that Top Gun was by invitation only, which I was not invited at that time, and told me that I could get involved in some of the local contests, and if I placed so far or so high up in them, I could be considered by Top Gun to get an invite. And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah, that's how I started.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it worked out great, and everybody is really willing to help. I can tell you I was very, nervous, a little bit intimidated by everybody and everything. And the group of guys that are usually around these things, bringing the new guys in like myself, couldn't be a greater group of guys, a more welcoming and warm group of guys. And the group that I dealt with were down in Sarasota. There's a club down there. I can't remember what they're called. But they held a chapter or a local qualifier for the Scale Masters. And I went down there and got involved in probably the lowest level, probably a novice level, and got lucky because there weren't too many guys in it, and I did really well in it. And because of that, I got invited to the national competition, which I never went to, but also got invited to Top Gun, which, of course, is in my backyard. And I went over there, and I competed over there the last 2 years and just had a ball.
That's super.
Top Gun has a bunch of great guys. I mean, I got to say, it's home for me since 1992, and I think because of the history of all the people that I've met through the years, that's what makes Top Gun so special. And, of course, Frank does a great job running it. And that is, I mean, the only competition really that I've been to as far as scale wise has been recently Top Gun. I mean, before the qualifiers, like Scott went through, you know, I went to, you know, a bunch of them, Rhinebeck, New York. And I mean, I was all over before I went to Top Gun, but, you know, I've yet to go to the Scale Masters, which, one day, I would like to go. And, you know, the last time I was at the Scale Masters was 1986 rather. Where I met Charlie Chambers and for the first time, and that's where I got hooked on scale, was the 86 Scale Masters.
Gotcha. Well, Scott, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. It's always good
absolutely.
To hear from you. Did you get your big propeller I sent to you?
I did get it. Thank you very much. Good. It's hanging in the shop, and I got to give
you
that's
a pretty one, isn't it? Isn't it pretty?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely gorgeous. I think Vogel Sang over there handles just a fantastic line of products, and I really appreciate what he did for you and donating that.
Absolutely.
And I enjoy it. It's great.
Well, super. Well, thanks again for calling in, and I hope we'll get to see you sometime this year at one of the fly-ins again.
Oh, I think it'll happen. I think it'll happen. And thank you. I appreciate it. Dino, thanks for everything, and good luck.
Happy New Year, Scott.
Same to you, buddy. See you around soon.
Okay.
All right, that was our buddy Scott Prossen. He's a regular on the site. You've probably seen him around there. I wanted to bring that up, Dino, about these kind of myths and preconceived notions about competition, because I think what happens is, you know, someone may go to some they may go as a spectator to Top Gun, And, you know, that's a fairly intense competition.
Well, listen, before I forget, because, you know, me, myself, and my ADD, mm-hmm. I can tell you that when I personally am competing at Top Gun, if I'm there a couple days early, that's the best time to get to me.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe I could even rub off the wrong way to somebody, because while I'm at Top Gun, I'm very focused on competing.
Right.
Now, if somebody comes up to me and, I mean, you know, I could probably meet 30 people and not remember I even had a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And that is not to be taken that I'm not interested. It's just during that time, myself and many of the competitors are there for Top Gun and to compete. Now, I'm a little bit different because I own Meisterscale, so, you know, I try to put both in there. I try to talk about the product and then concentrate on competing. But so there's a little bit more for myself and maybe a couple other vendors out there, like Bob Violet, you know, BVM Models and whatnot. But it's very tough to do both, especially because you're there to compete, you're there to win, and it's a very costly endeavor. It's a very high expense to go to these events and to compete for a week. So, you know, I try to do my best, but you know, sometimes you know, maybe I might say the wrong thing, or somebody takes my personality the wrong way, and you know, please don't take it that way, and don't take that from most of the modelers. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I think that's a general consensus that that's the way it is.
Yeah, and that's exactly the point I was trying to make, was that you know, that's a fairly intense competition, and if you're wanting to get into competition, there are a lot of AMA and Skillmaster qualifiers around the country that are a lot lower key than that. And you know, so
yeah, I mean, lower key. I mean, you know, with the pro-am amateur, that's for Top Gun, that's the lower key as it gets. You know, I try to get as many modelers interested in competing in the pro-am, and they feel that, you know, I still talk to some guys and they're like, well, I think that's just, it's too big of a level for me. And I'm saying, really, it's not. It's your basic level entry to Top Gun to go into bigger things. I mean, you know, you got pro-am amateur and pro-am pro, and
yeah.
Pro-am pro is where the, you know, the top guys are competing with each other. So the amateur guys don't have to worry, because the amateur guys are competing against the same rank of guys who were there throughout the whole competition.
Right, right. Well, I think we got another caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Hi, Mitch Baker. How are you?
Great, Mike. How are you? How you doing, Dino?
Hey, Mitch.
What can we do for you tonight, Mitch?
I just wanted to chime in a little bit. You know, Mike knows me, and I actually haven't competed yet. I'm getting into it and stuff like that. But you know what Dino says about you know, the focus and everything at Top Gun seems to hit really home as far as what I've observed going to a lot of competitions, being with the Scale Masters. You know, they get into mode, you know, catch the guys beforehand or after, and it's a different atmosphere with folks. But for those that are, you know, on the East Coast here, or Midwest, East Coast, that general area, if you know what Mike said about AMA competitions and stuff like that, you know, one I go to every year, which Mike's been going to me with the last couple of years, is Mint Julep. If you want a place where you can get into it that has both the competition, and it's the closest I've come to a competition that has a fly-in atmosphere.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You won't get that feeling at Top Gun. I mean,
that's no. It's just the nature of the beast. Just, you know, Top Gun is what it is.
Right.
It's Top Gun. It's, you know, like the Masters itself. The Masters Championships, you're not going to get that fly-in feeling. But there's a lot, you know, several around the country that are held that do have a fly-in feeling. You know, the guys there at Mint Julep, you know, and are more than willing to help out through there. I've you know, I've heard calls over the radio, over the announcements of somebody needing this to keep competing. And the scale guys, I've noticed, are very interested in keeping other people competing with them. most of them don't want to just fly up there by themselves because everybody else is broken down.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I've actually heard a lot of positive things about the Mint Julep. While I personally haven't been there, PJ Ash, my buddy, has been there, I don't know, a couple of times. I don't really know how many. But he's always saying, what a great time. And he's a Top Gun competitor. But he, I mean, just because we're Top Gun competitors doesn't mean that we like to go to events and relax and still stay focused, but yet have a good time and converse with other guys. So I hear a lot about the Mint Julep. That would be one place one day I'd like to get to and say hello.
Oh, it's a great event. I'd really like to see you up there, Dino, and chat with you some more. I always have some interesting conversations with you. You're a great guy. You're a great competitor, a great builder, you know, and you can send me that check anytime.
Yeah.
Have a good one. Thanks for being on the show, Dino. I appreciate it. You're great out there for the hobby.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for calling, Mitch. That was Mitch Baker from Scale Masters touching base with us. I can see we're going to have to make this into a couple of shows, Dino.
Well, there's a lot to talk about.
There really is. There really is. There's a whole lot to talk about.
It's not an easy conversation to wrap up in 30 minutes or an hour.
Not at all. I tell you what I want to do, though, real quickly. I want to touch on something. We've got a couple of emails that I want you to answer, but I want to discuss something for about 5 minutes, and that is kind of talking about preparing for a competition. Okay. What the basic things people need to realize that they're going to have to do to compete. And obviously there's a lot of variables there depending on which class you're going to be competing in. But let's start with the lowest common denominator, like AMA fun scale, for instance. Okay. And let's tell people, you know, what they need to kind of how to get psyched up, how to work on a flight routine, how to choose a flight routine, you know, and let's bounce that around a little bit.
Well, as far as the AMA sports, you know, guidelines, I'm not too familiar with, but I can talk about what it's like to plan for competition, you know, getting started in competition. I mean, first of all, you got to be dedicated. Okay, you got to be dedicated, and you have to have the love and passion for. We're talking about, of course, warbirds. Okay, so when I'm speaking, it's strictly about warbird competition. But you know, you got to pick a subject that you like. You got to pick a subject that you know very well and that you've studied. You got to study the full scale aircraft, how it flies. And basically practice. And I would say that the main things that you want to focus on that I focused on when I was a kid growing up was taking off and landings. I've always had people come up to me and say, how can you be so consistent that you take off and land exactly the same? I mean, there might be some small variables with the wind, whatnot, but basically it's practicing. I mean, when I was growing up, I used to take off and land. I never flew. I mean, I just took off and land, took off and land, took off and land. Well, it made a lot of people upset. But these are things that you got to practice. And I think that if you stay focused and you pick a routine that is prototypical of the aircraft that you're going to be competing with, you know, you'll be fine. Just keep practicing. Like I said, you know, Top Gun, you've got 9 maneuvers and a realism in flight. So you, you know, 5 of them are mandatory. You have takeoff and landing, which are mandatory, high-speed flyby, low-speed flyby, and then your realism in flight, which is automatically into the into your calling card, you know, whatever you pick to do that routine with. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's just something that you're going to stick. Like, I've got the bug. It's not something that I can wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to go fly helicopters. For me, it's a little bit different because it's a passion and it's a love of mine that I've always had since growing up.
Well, don't worry. If you ever said, Mike, I'm going to go fly helicopters, I'd smack you with a fish.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the over the counter drugs now.
Maybe so. Well, that's good advice. You know, and you're right. And you know, the main thing, like with the sportsman and the fun scale, is that, you know, I think basically you just have to have a picture of the airplane, of a typical airplane, you know.
Yes, for sportsmen, yes. It's just,
that's right.
Just one photo. It gets signed off. And basically, you know, some guys kind of knock the pro-am division. I don't know how, because all pro-am is a flying competition.
Right.
I mean, it is all about flying skills. There's no static judging. There's no builder. You know, there's different categories for that. So it's all about flying. And it's a very serious category. I've been in it since it started. I've taken years off every now and then to go into team scale. But that's another conversation in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
But the one thing, before I forget, the one thing I do want to make mention, the guys who wanted to get into, you know, competing and they don't know where to start. I mean, maybe they watch some videos, but they really don't have an avenue to go through. Contact a scale modeler, myself. I mean, if there's somebody in your area, there's plenty of guys out there who are more than happy to meet you at the field and help you through and talk you through a routine. I do it all the time. I go down south from here, near Lauderdale, and, you know, the guys know me and they'll come up to me and I will personally go through a routine with them and I will judge it. And, one of them is Mike Bacon. Mike Bacon used to be a Top Gun flight judge. So even Mike Bacon comes up to me and says, "Hey, Dino, can you help me? You know, I've got some issues. You know, what am I doing wrong?" And I will go through a routine and help him out. And I think you can do that anywhere. You don't have to live in Florida. I think if you're California, there's, you know, wherever you go, just look up, find somebody, and they'll help you.
And look on the site. You know, this gets discussed at least once a week. You know,
right.
There's tons of information out there, and there's a lot of guys on the site who are fantastic flyers like Dino, and try and run one of them down in your area, and see what you can set up. Because, like you said, you know, 99.9% of these guys are more than willing to help you. You know, because
absolutely, but if we don't know, we can't help.
That's right.
And if somebody contacts, you know, a modeler and he just doesn't have the time, don't get discouraged. Find somebody else.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, look, we got an email. This is from our buddy Bob H. He wants to know, what is the way that you go about determining your flight routine, and how much communication do you think is important with the judges prior and during a flight?
That's a very good question, Bob. That is an excellent question. While there's no perfect explanation or, you know, that I can give, except that when you pick your routine, you're going to pick something that, like I said, that adapts to your aircraft. Okay, so pick something that you're comfortable with. And listen, I mean, through the years, I've changed my routine hundreds of times. I've even changed my routine after my first round of competition, saying, you know what, I'm not getting scored very well for whatever reason. Let me see if there's something else that I can fit in as a substitute to make it better. You know, you can do a four-point roll. You can do a loop. If your loops are off, then find something else. You can do an Immelmann, a split S. I mean, I am not an aerobatic, you know, competitor, so I don't know, you know, too many of the aerobatic routines, but as far as a scale routine, you know, like obviously a P-47 is not going to fly like the Piper Cub I'm going to be flying. So that's going to be a totally different change for me. And while when you're talking, the question about talking to the judges, keep it simple. When I do a pre-flight with a judge, I basically show them on, like, say, for instance, the P-47 that this year, I show them the landing gear. Because if it's used, you have to demonstrate it because they may not see it up in the air. I show them the flaps. I show them any feature on the airplane. And then I make it simple. I tell the judges, I'm going to take off here. If I'm going to use the grass, I'll tell them I'm going to take off on the grass. Take off and landing. If I have a touch and go, which is two maneuvers at Top Gun, they judge a touch and the go, I'm going to tell them it's going to be on the grass. You have to let them know what you're going to do so they're prepared for it. Bomb drop. You know, it's another thing. People think it's an automatic 10. No, it's not. You have to let them know how it's going to fall, when it's going to fall, and try and judge about where it's going to fall. And that's very hard because of the wind conditions and the weight of the tank and whatnot. But all those things, you pre-flight to the judge ahead of time, and you try to keep it simple and to the point. You know, there's some competitors that I've heard listening through the years that go on the whole routine as full scale, you know, calling to the tower, this and that. Well, that's great, but I think it's too much. I think that the judges, you know, are like, okay, let's get the show on the road. We've got, you know, 60 other airplanes we've got to judge. That's just my personal feeling. That may not be the case, but I mean, through the years, I think if you keep it simple, that's the way to go.
Super, super. Well, I think we got another caller here. Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Mike. This is Chris from South Carolina. How are you?
Hey, Chris. Good to hear from you. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Just had a quick question. You know, wondering, you know, when you practice your routines, flying scale and so forth, do you actually use the model that you're going to compete with at Top Gun, or do you build like a second one and just don't detail as much and use that?
Hi, Chris. I missed the beginning of your comment. Were you talking about a practice plane?
Yes.
Yeah, I was wondering, do you build, like, say, do you build two P-47s, one for practice and one for show?
The answer is yes and no. Personally, I usually don't, because I'm so familiar with the aircraft, you remember, through the years, that I don't need a practice plane. However, it does not hurt, because, I mean, if you know, hey, these models are you know, not cheap. So if you can afford to have two, then sure. I mean, God forbid something happens to your competition airplane. However, usually no. I have my competition plane, and I have faith in the equipment that I use, and that's that. I mean, but things do happen, and unfortunately, then we just have to build something else.
Right, right. Okay. Well, that was my question. I appreciate it. Great show, Mike. I'll hang up now. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thanks for your
call.
Thanks,
Chris.
It's always good to hear from you, buddy. Dino, we need to take a short break. But will you stick around for a few minutes, and we're gonna bump Ron Berg.
I've got all the time you guys want me for.
If Ron doesn't mind tonight, we're gonna bump him and keep this going a little bit, because we've got some more questions that we want to talk about.
No problem. We're
gonna take a quick break, folks, and we'll be back in just a minute. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Live from Washington D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
The end of 1941 saw German ace Adolf Galland promoted to General of the Fighters. In part two of AeroCinema's exclusive series, Galland takes us inside Hitler's inner circle and reveals the secret plans for one of World War II's boldest operations, Operation Thunderbolt, the Channel Dash.
Hitler, he wanted to have the capital ships in Norway. He said he knew that this operation would be extremely dangerous.
Galland pilots us through the collapse of Germany, the infighting in the Luftwaffe High Command, and the follies of Hitler and Göring.
He did not understand what was going on. Hitler's thinking was only aggressive. He could only follow the bomber.
Discover what inspired Galland to continue fighting in a war all but lost, and the one aircraft which might have changed history.
And the population is suffering in such a terrible way that we have a good weapon. We have to continue to fight.
Join us as we learn about the man behind the legend. Adolf Gallen, the fighter general.
Live from the land of the brave. Because of the brave. This is Warbird Radio.
Coming back online here.
And we're back with the RC Skill Builder Show. Glad you're listening with us tonight. Our guest is Dino DiGiorgio, and the topic tonight is scale competition and how to get into it and maybe answer a few of your questions that you may have about it. Well, Dino, let me ask you, I wanted to kind of wrap things up a little bit, take a little time to wrap things up. We've had a lot of questions.
Excellent questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And, that's why I wanted to have this show. And we're definitely going to have another one in a couple of weeks and revisit this topic. But, you know, I really wanted to at least cover getting started and things you need to do. And, you know, the recurring theme here, folks, just to kind of bring up speed that we've been talking about is, you know, find somebody in your area to help you that possibly is a competitor. And if there's not someone in your area, you know, hit a resource like RC Skill Builder and, you know, ask the questions you want to ask. And there's lots of folks all over the country to help you with this stuff.
Yeah, make a post on RC Skill Builder. Hey, who's out there? I need help.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's it.
We talked about the flying part of it. You know, obviously, it's been my experience and watching other people getting started in competition that you can never practice enough.
No, that's true. The only thing that will help is that natural ability. Some guys have it more than others. Some guys just have to work at it more than others. But I think that through the practice, like I've done through the years, I built that natural ability. I wasn't, you know, people say you're born with it. I don't, you know, I think that you just got to work hard at it.
Right.
I mean, you know, either you're focused and, I mean, that's what I wanted to do, and that's all I did. I didn't go fishing, you know, I didn't go hunting. Well, that's fine, but it was airplanes. That's all it was for me.
Yep, that's right. It takes that focus. Well, that's, you know, I really wanted to talk about that tonight, and I really appreciate you bringing up those points. Those are very important points. And, folks, there is a scale contest somewhere near you, and if there's not, guess what? You can have one yourself. Have your club start one up, you know, and it's a lot of fun. You know, I think everybody gets the impression that all scale competition is high pressure and highly competitive, like Top Gun. Well, that event is the best of the best, so it's going to be that way. And people have spent a lot of time and effort to get there. So that is a very competitive venue, whereas – you know, your local AMA or Skill Masters qualifier is nowhere near as competitive, you know. Although that could be, you never know. But more than likely, it's a lot more laid back and enjoyable, you know. And hey, you know, there's something to be said for waxing your friends in a competition, you know. You know, when you and your buddies are out there discussing it, you know, it's a lot of fun. But
it is.
Well, that's super. One thing I wanted to kind of wrap up with, and we'll save the rest for another show, Dino, was I wanted to talk a little bit about the flight routine a little bit more. And, okay. You know, you touched on it that, you know, obviously it needs to be appropriate for the aircraft you're flying.
Right, model specific.
Yeah. So you don't want to be doing, you know, 4-point rolls with a Cub, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, watching people fly their routine, one thing I've come to realize is that the impressive thing about the routine is not so much the speed. You know, you get these guys that get off on these tangents about skill speed and per scale speed perception and all that. Well, yeah, that's, you know, that's an interesting topic, but to what seems to impress the judges, in my opinion, from what I've seen in my experience, is the precision of the maneuvers and the timing of them, not so much what it looks like, you know, and if you're doing those correctly, it should look right, So I want you to comment on that a little bit and talk about that some.
Yeah, I mean, speed is a slight factor. Now, speed might be a big factor depending on what judge you have up there. And, you know, when you get to a place like Top Gun, some of the judges are the same and some aren't. So, you know, and, you know, you can remember how a judge is, or some, you know, in the past they used to leave notes. They really don't leave any notes to if your maneuver was too fast. Maybe a judge will say if you got downgraded from a 10 to an 8.5, and, you know, they'll write heading or something to that effect. So some judges will let you know. I wish they would all do that, but while they're not obligated to, some do. But as far as placement is, of course, the main key. You know, read the rule books. No matter what competition you go to, read your rule books. Make sure you know the placement where that particular competition wants the model to be when it starts and when it finishes, and when you do your maneuvers, because that is very, very important. While, for instance, for takeoff, I usually back taxi as far down as I can, because on a prototypical takeoff, like the P-47, because it's in my mind, the real one was very big and very heavy and took a long, long runway, especially when it was loaded with fuel, external long-range fuel tanks or bombs or rockets or whatever it was. And talking to full-scale pilots, they never thought the plane would ever get off the ground. Okay, so if you keep that in mind, you don't want to just do a fast takeoff and, you know, you might get downgraded. You probably will, because these judges are pretty darn sharp. So it's things like that. You know, landing. I try to touch down within a certain range so that when it rolls out, it stays within that parameter, and then the judges can see all of it. While it's not all the way down at the opposite end of the runway, and then I'm taxiing back and still taxiing and taxiing up to the judge, that would be off in placement. You know, undershoot, overshoot, you know, making sure that you stay within the boundary of that perimeter. Altitude, you don't want to be too high, and, you know, you don't want to be too low. So you want to try and keep it eye level to the judges at all times.
Gotcha. That's great advice. You know, I mean, and to be fair, all this is really covered in the rule books. I mean,
sure it is.
You know, and I think a lot of times people try and make it a lot more complex than it really is.
Well, you know, it's in the rule book. However, like myself, I can read something, and while it doesn't really soak in, I'm a hands-on. I need to mm-hmm. see it. So that's where the practicing comes in, because right. You can read the rule book and say, oh, okay, it needs to look like that. And then when you go to do it, it's nowhere near it. So, I mean, you need to practice, you know, and especially when you're beginning. I mean, practice is a necessity, like I said. It's a must. If you just started, you know, getting into competing, even though you're a good pilot, you can go to competition and you can get so discouraged and say, I never want to do this again. Why? Because you were not prepared. Yep. You didn't prepare yourself. You thought you did because you read the rule book and you put a couple of flights on, and then you realize, hey, well, what did I do wrong? Why is this a 6 or a 7? It should have been a 10. Mm-hmm. That's what it boils down to.
That was my very first experience, too. First time I ever competed, I did exactly that. I made that mistake. And it's
natural.
Yep, yep.
It's natural.
And you know, my point about the rule book is that a lot of people ask other people's opinions about how something is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And my point of talking about the rule book is that when you have those questions, that should be the first place you go to.
Well, here, real quick, and I know you got to go, but real quick. For instance, when you pick a maneuver and you read it in the rule book, and this goes back to the question from Bob H., where he was asking about talking to the judges. And I can't explain and express how important it is to let the judge know what you're going to do. Even though it's a simple takeoff, you got to let him know, this is where it's going to start, this is where it's going to end, you're going to see, you know, this action from here to here. That's very important. So the judges are prepped, because it's only up to you now. Because if you deviate from that, they're going to downgrade you, and you can't be mad at anybody but yourself.
Right.
That's very important.
Yeah. Well, that's excellent advice. And you know what? We're going to close the interview with that. But I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. And we're definitely going to have you back in a few weeks. And we're going to continue this discussion about skill competition and getting into it.
And you guys are going to have an absolute great time talking to Graham Mears. And you know what? We could talk about documentation, but I'm not even going to get into that avenue because Graham Mears has got the documentation nailed down. He is the guy to talk to.
We'll definitely hit him up about that for sure. Well, that's super. Well, Dino, thanks again, buddy, for coming on the show. And,
no problem.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And we're gonna hop off here and do our trivia question, and then we're gonna call it a night. But we'll get you back on in a few weeks, and we'll talk some more about this if you don't mind.
Nope, no mind at all. If you get some emails, hold them And I'd love to talk about it. Any questions, just, you know, hammer away.
Sounds good. Well, pal, thanks a lot. And we'll be talking to you real soon.
Great, Mike. You guys have a great night.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Bye. All right, folks. That was Dino DiGiorgio. And, you know, it's very interesting to talk to him about this because he has such good advice, you know. And the main thing I want you to carry away from this, if you're considering entering competition, is don't be intimidated by it. Everybody has a little bit of a rough go to begin with, but you know, that's just part of it. And thing is to continue and make yourself better. But anyway, well, let's move right on. We've got our trivia question tonight, and I think this is a pretty good trivia question. Matt, would you like to join in with me on this?
Nope.
Are you available? You don't want to tonight?
No, I'm here.
Now, what was up with the music? Do we have a little?
I don't know what that was. Very strange. It was off here. No one else. We couldn't hear it. Something only you could hear.
I would report you to the station manager, but
I think so. Yeah, that needs to. That definitely is. I'm going to get the engineer on it.
Yeah.
I will get him right on that. Just as soon as he shows up for work. So
I hear you. Well, look. First of all,
what's the trivia question? Good show,
okay,
by the way.
This is the Meister trivia question. Meister Scale sponsors this, and they donate the Zap CA that we give away. So
that you allegedly give away.
If you can answer this,
yeah,
that I allegedly give away. That's right.
Right.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So if you've already won, let's give other folks a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go ahead and we'll read the question and we'll see if anybody can get it.
Like a little ray of sunshine tonight. You are, to some people, looking for some glue, perhaps.
That's right. Here we go.
Your chance to win. Okay, I'm ready, Mike.
So what aircraft made the first successful turbojet flight? Once again, what aircraft made the first successful turbojet flight? All I want to know is the aircraft. And it's pretty simple. If you think you know the answer, give us a call at 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio or shoot us an email at live@rcscalebuilder.com.
I have to say it's not the one that I thought it was going to be.
No, it.
When I saw the answer earlier.
It surprised me.
Yeah.
Once again, the question is, what aircraft made the first successful turbojet flight?
You know what would be another interesting idea would be to what was the first radio controlled jet to fly?
Oh, that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. We might have to do that one too.
Yeah. I mean, a real jet. I mean, I was trying to what was before the first one I can think of. I mean, like major production run would have been maybe the Golden West. What was before the Golden West?
What were those guys that were selling the kits for them?
Yeah. Well, they're still out there, too.
Yeah, they're still out there.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
That was the first one I remember seeing. But anyway, yeah, good trivia question.
Yeah, so once again, what aircraft made the first successful turbojet flight? If you think you know the answer, call us at 478-787-4768, Skype us at Warbird Radio, or email your answers to live@rcscalebuilder.com, and we'll see if anybody knows this.
You know who the guest is tomorrow? I was thinking about this as you and Mitch were talking about building and all that good stuff. Tomorrow is Cal Pacific Air Motive. I don't want to say Cal Air Pacific, but it's Cal Pacific Air Motive. And they build P-51s. I wonder if they could build a real P-51 faster than you guys can build
a
model.
You know what the difference is?
Yeah, they're working about it.
They get paid for it.
They're working about 9 hours a day. I think you have a caller here, Mike.
Okay. Good evening, caller.
Yeah, the plane is a Hankel AT-178.
That would be correct. And who are we speaking with?
Rick Baker.
Okay. Rick Baker?
Yes, down in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, well, Rick, glad you're listening to the show tonight, and you're absolutely correct. The first turbojet-propelled aircraft was the Hankel HE-178, and it took place over a German forest on August 24th and 27th. Now, get this date, Matt, 1939.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
That is amazing.
All right. Well, Rick, do me a favor. Send me your mailing address to live@rcscalebuilder.com, and we'll get that out to you.
Live@rcscalebuilder.com.
Yes, sir. That's
okay.
It. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You have a great evening. Good show.
You too.
There you go.
Thanks.
Hey, those are some nice-looking guys that he's got down there, I bet, talking with him in there. They sound like it.
Oh,
in the
yeah.
Background.
Oh, yeah.
Back there. I don't know who they were, but
I don't know, but you know. Well, yeah. You know, we're talking this morning about the Southeastern Model Show,
yeah.
Modeler Show.
Yeah.
And that's coming up March 4th and 5th, by the way.
Dino going to be there?
I don't know if Dino will be there. You know, I don't think
you're going to be there.
I'll be there.
I think Dino should be there.
So anybody going to the Perry, Georgia swap meet, that's March 4th and 5th, be sure and look me up. I'll be around there. So, also, I got a recommended site of the week. It's called Drawings, Documents, and Photos, and I'll post a link on this on the episode thread on RC Scale Builder. But this guy has all kinds of blueprints of different aircraft, and I mean some bizarre stuff. Mm,
good stuff, then. That's good.
Yeah. Hey, Dino just emailed us, and he said the first RC turbine jet was aired at Top Gun in 1992. It was a JPX F-16 with elevons.
Dino is such a show-off, but he's so cool.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
Well, talking about conceited modelers, Mike, I've made a list, and I'd like to read it, but we're all out of time. But the top of my list, I'll save it for next week, but got it right here. So I'll be happy to start reading it. So.
I tell you what, though, you know, we make a joke.
Yeah.
We make a lot of jokes about that, but there are some really great folks in this
lot. Yeah,
there really
guys,
are.
Great guys. Great
guys. Couldn't do without them. But, well, folks, that's going to wrap up our first show back from the holidays. And I hope you all have a fantastic 2011.
Well, same to you, Mike. And
we'll
hear from you next week for sure, bud.
We'll be back next week with another great guest and more information about what's going on in RC Scale Building. And thanks to my guest. Most thanks to you all. Great programming here on Warbird Radio. Until next time, don't forget to measure twice and cut once.
There you go. Good night, Mike.